We have one more speaker, and then we'll get into the questions portion. And I'm sorry for Doug gets to be at the end of this, but Doug Swift, who has some things to input regarding the development community.
Well, it's not so much from the from the development of this particular building, but it's again sort of following up on some of the things that have been talked about here about the process and how you become the decisions on when we are dealing with these often challenging and thorny and sticky projects that are large and public and have a lot of people interested in the outcome. And I think this community in general has come a long way in just the past couple of years in improving the way we do things with these large public projects. We've learned lessons over the years that the deal behind the closed doors isn't really working anymore, because once you come out and people don't like what they see, then, then they react. And then that project is so far down the road and people are so committed to one path, it's very difficult to turn that ship around. We've seen it at the Peace Bridge. We've seen it down at Erie Canal. We've seen it at any number of projects around here that we're all familiar with. And the reason that I got involved in this, both through PBN, but I could see that this was one of those projects that was headed in a bad direction, because I too felt that there were certain decisions and plans that were sort of set in motion that hadn't had the community input that this building deserved. So I'm there to try to sort of, I think, educate and learn myself, what has happened, up to this point, and then to try to get the owner, in this case the medical campus, technically not the owner, but the Trico building itself, it needs to be out there. This is a big iconic building that we all have come to acknowledge in one way or another as a landmark, and that the community, we have to come together as a diverse community with diverse different ideas and concepts about what can and can't happen, and then come to a consensus, and that takes time. And the group that was assembled in January was sort of an ad hoc group that was fairly diverse, had a lot of different views represented there, as well as some technical expertise in development and design and cost estimating and planning, that were really beginning to assemble some data that then the broader community could then respond to. I felt we were sort of doing kind of the due diligence background work that any steering committee of any of these projects would sort of assemble and then go to the public with and get that input. That process got kind of sidelined here in the past couple of weeks. Matt is his group is still willing to sort of move that forward. I think we ought to keep doing that. But that, my goal, my hope is that eventually this process becomes second nature and just common sense and part of our program here, so that we don't end up having the battles and we can avoid the lawsuits and we can sort of work to a collective consensus that in a community with a project of this magnitude isn't going to please everybody at the end of the day, but everybody's going to understand the issues and the limitations and the potential of each one of these projects as they come along. So it's sort of an evolutionary stepping stone, in my mind, of Buffalo's sort of acceptance of this more open and democratic process that we're really learning is a lot more effective and takes a lot less time at the end of the day if you sort of do it in that open process. So that's been my goal, and that's I think what this group, the way I saw it, that was assembled, was all trying to work towards to the kind and collect the kind of information that would inform and potentially create that adaptive reuse study that would be needed for anybody to sort of make a real decision on whether this is a project that they want to invest in. That's about all I have to say, so I'm going to cut that short there.